And if you haven't got your Bible open to Luke 12, that'd be really helpful. It gives me time to find it as well. Steve, would you just be able to pray? Is that all right?
Pray.
Yeah.
I'll be delighted to pray. Let me pray. Father, thank you that we have a sure place to run to. We can run to your word, to your truth. We pray that actually we'll hear you speak and that you'll help Paul to preach your words and to know your presence and help. May we be changed by it and encouraged by it and built up through it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. Brilliant. Okay, is this working? Yes, too much. There we go. Okay, what I want you to do, first of all, just have a think to yourself. Think of a time when you were afraid of what others might think of you. And so you either did something or you didn't do something, perhaps, that you would have normally done. So can you think of that? I wonder if you can think of a time in your life when you were afraid what others might think, and so that led you either to do something perhaps you wouldn't have done, or you didn't do something you wanted to do. So here's the thing. I think all of us, we fear what other people think of us. And I know already there's probably a few people here thinking to themselves, well, I don't. I don't care what people think about me. And with the most respect I can muster, I want to say, you absolute liar, all right? And I can tell you're a liar because I used to say that a lot. That was kind of my battle cry. I don't really care. You know, I say, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't care what people think. And actually, the reason I would say that is because actually I wanted people to kind of look at this don't care attitude and admire that and think, oh, look at that don't care attitude. He really doesn't care about anything, does he? Look at him. And also I discovered as well, I like to kind of, I don't like to sugarcoat things. So if I didn't enjoy something, I will say I didn't enjoy that. I didn't think it was very good. And I'll tell you why. And I've discovered in kind of Christian circles, a lot of Christians don't really like that. And actually, I really enjoyed eliciting, well, like if you say things like that, they get quite uncomfortable. And I really enjoyed eliciting that reaction in people. So I would be like, I don't care what people think, I'll just say it. And they'd get all uncomfortable. And I just found it quite fun to kind of goad the Christians a little bit. And I still do it a little bit, but I've reined myself in. Unbelievable as that might seem. But even that kind of don't care attitude was really all about what other people thought. And when I look back over my life, particularly my teenage years, I think, how many things did I not do because I was afraid of what others might think? You know, that other people might look at me and they might laugh, or they might kind of say, like, really? What, you're doing that? Like, you? And every time I speak in church, there's a couple of verses I always go to and, like, read and pray through beforehand. And one of them is John chapter 3, verse 30. It's where John the Baptist says about Jesus and himself. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And every time I come to preach, I have to remember, you know what, it's not about me. You know, you think, what if I do a rubbish job? You know, it's not about you, Paul. It's about Jesus. The thing is, we all care what other people think. So Virginia Woolf once said, she said, the eyes of others are our prisons. Their thoughts are our cages. And we all kind of have these thoughts, don't we? You know, do people like me? Do they think I'm good at my job, at what I do? Do they think I'm funny? Do they think I look right? Do they think I'm good when I do these things that I do? And it drives so much of our life, doesn't it? What people think about us. And I think that's particularly the case when you're a teenager. It's very obvious, isn't it? But actually, it doesn't, you know, it carries on through life. It doesn't really just automatically disappear. I was reminded of the line in a song by 21 Pilots, who Stressed Out, and he said, I was told when I was older all my fears would shrink, but now I'm insecure and I care what people think. Actually, it's often like that, isn't it? We do care what other people think, no matter what we say. And actually, fear of others leads to hypocrisy. That might seem like a strange thing to say, but a hypocrite was originally a term from the theatre. It was about someone who wore a mask, an actor who had two faces. And when we fear what other people think about us, we don't always show our true selves. We don't always say what we really think. We don't always say what we're really feeling for fear of what others might think about it. And we kind of put on a show. You know, and Oscar Wilde said, most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions. Their lives are mimicry. Their passions are quotation. And I was thinking, you know, how many times when I come to church, I was thinking, you know what, I think I lie to people on quite a regular basis. And I think you probably do as well. When I come to church, people say, how are you? And I say, what do you say? I'm fine. Exactly. And actually, there's been a lot of times when I've been like, you know what, I'm not fine. You know what, I'm just fed up. Actually, I don't want to be here. I'm in this church all week. You know, I don't want to sing another song. I don't want to do another Bible study. I don't want to pray another prayer. I don't have to deal with another relentlessly chipper person. And so you come and you kind of do your thing because it's easy to do religion. You can come to church and you can sing, or you can do a Bible study, or you can force a prayer because you think, oh, people will realize if I don't pray, so I better pray. And, you know, what would they think if they knew I was struggling? And so we're hypocrites. We act one way, but really we're another. What would God say about that? Well, in this passage, Jesus says, doesn't he, in verse 1, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that is their hypocrisy. So how are the Pharisees hypocrites? Well, what I want you to do, just in your groups, just take a few minutes, look back at chapter 11, verses 39 to 40, have a chat with the people around you. From those verses, in what way are the Pharisees hypocrites? All right, so just do that with the people around you, take a few minutes. Chapter 11, verses 39 to 44. I'm not going to do the microphone, just shout it out.
Outward show. Keep the rules, but don't keep the spirit of the rules.
Yeah, good. Keep the rules, but don't keep the spirit of the rules, yeah. Anyone else want
to... Greedy and wicked.
Greedy and wicked, yeah. Yeah, ignore the big things like justice, but dwell on the small things. Yeah, good. Inward looking for an outward appearance. Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of sums it up well. You know, that what you guys have said there. You know, what they had was an appearance of one thing, but they were actually like something else. They had this kind of false outward religion. They were more concerned about what others saw than they were about what God saw. And it was all about the external things and not the internal. So they're full of greed and lust and selfishness and jealousy and hatred. But, you know, they thought they were fine because they'd done all this outward stuff. And what does Jesus therefore say to his disciples about that? He says in verses 2 and 3, doesn't he? Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. Jesus is saying, God sees through it. God sees through your mask. You might be able to fool people, but you can't fool God. And one day, everything is going to be revealed. One day, we'll stand before God, you'll be judged, and the truth of what we're really like will be revealed. And then Jesus goes on to speak, doesn't he, in some verses that you could look at and think seem quite disconnected, but this whole chapter is linked together. And Jesus tells his disciples in verse 4, doesn't he, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. You know, why are the Pharisees hypocrites? Well, it's because at the root of it, they fear man. They fear people and what they think. And Jesus says, don't fear people. The worst thing they can do is kill you. And I go, that seems pretty bad, let's be honest. But Jesus goes on to say, doesn't he, in verse 5, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus says, fear the one, fear God, the one who has power to do worse than simply kill you, but actually has the authority to throw you into hell. And when, you know, this idea of fearing God comes up lots in the Bible, doesn't it? And we need to unpack it a little bit. It's not an idea of abject terror. I was thinking about a show I was watching where there are a whole bunch of prisoners kind of in this group, and the guards come and they're deciding who's going to be taken out, you know, at their own whim, who they're going to take out and they're going to torture. And they're all there with their eyes down, and there's a boy who must be, I don't know, kind of 14 or so, and, you know, they're all there terrified, and, you know, he wets himself. And that's terror. That's terror, that is. That's not what this is talking about. We're not supposed to feel that way about God. But it's talking about having a right reverence and awe for who God is. And it reminded me of the kind of often quoted thing from the Narnia books, where Susan asks Mr. Beaver about Aslan, the lion, and says, "Is he safe?" And the response is, "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." You know, that's what God is like. God is good, but he's incredibly powerful. He's got the power to cast people into hell, not to be taken lightly. And then Jesus goes on, doesn't he, to start talking about sparrows and hare. Doesn't he say, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight? But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." And that seems old again, doesn't it? Just in the middle of all this, suddenly he starts talking about sparrows and hare. But he's just said to his disciples, he's told them not to fear man. He said, "Fear God." And then actually in verse 7, he says, "Don't be afraid." It's not a contradiction though, is it? Jesus is saying, look, think of these sparrows. Sparrows are cheap. You know, they're 2 a penny. 2.5 a penny in this case, isn't it? You get 5 for 2. And he says, God doesn't forget a single sparrow. These worthless birds, worth nothing. God doesn't forget a single one. You are more valuable than those sparrows. Every hair on your head has been numbered. If God is that concerned for sparrows, how much more is he concerned for you? You know, Jesus says, don't fear man. If you fear man, so if you don't fear man, that means taking off the mask, doesn't it? It's going to mean that we'll reveal our true self. And that in itself can be scary. But if we fear God, we don't need to fear men. That's why Jesus says, do not be afraid, because we have a God who cares for us immensely, who cares for us more than these sparrows, who has numbered every hair on our head. And so I think what Jesus wants to say really here is, fear God, not man. You know, how do we avoid the hypocrisy of the Pharisees? Well, we fear God and we don't fear man. Jesus says, don't spend your time trying to please other people just to win their approval. What good would it be to do all that, to have all this kind of religious show, but then not actually know God? Fear God. And what's that going to look like, though? Well, have a look at verses 8 and 9. Jesus says, "And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God." If we fear God, then we'll recognize who Jesus is. We'll point to him. We'll live for him. We'll look to him. You know, the Pharisees are the ones who fear people. They're the ones who deny Jesus in this passage. You know, we can dress ourselves up, can't we? We can dress ourselves up in religion, but then never actually come to Jesus for forgiveness. Having that relationship with God is actually ultimately more important. So the question is, who do we fear? Because who we fear will affect our actions, won't it? Think about if you fear man, if you fear what people think. Well, that's what the Pharisees were like, wasn't it? The Pharisees wanted to look religious. And if they looked religious, then they'd be thought well of in their society. Now, we're not really in the same position. If you're religious in today's society, it's not really thought well of. But yet we still do it, don't we? As Christians, we try and look religious. We put on a show. We sometimes do that empty religion thing. Who are we trying to impress when we do that? Well, we're trying to impress other Christians, aren't we? And that's just crazy when you think about it. Here we are, we're a family of broken sinful, corrupted people, albeit that we've been redeemed, but we fail every day, and often we feel like we can't actually show that. And that's crazy, isn't it? You know, we put on that brave face, we put on a front. The number of times I can tell you, I've just before I've gone into something, I've stood there and I've just gone, game face. Game face. All right, just got to get through it. Put on the front. You can do it. It's crazy, isn't it? It's like being, you know, that's like being in hospital and like you're in a row of patients and the patient next to you says, well, what's wrong with you? And you go, nothing, I'm absolutely fine. Like you don't want other patients to know you're sick. You know, like we're in church. This is a place for sick people. You know? And we often say that we need Jesus, but then we try our hardest to make it look to others as if we really don't. Because what will they think? And the danger at the root of this is that actually we can fool ourselves into thinking we really are well. Like the Pharisees, they acted like they were well, but actually they were at a point where they thought they were well. And religion can become such a well-rehearsed act that you don't realize it's an act anymore. You come to church and you sing and you pray and you read the Bible or you go in the band, you do the sound desk, you pour some drinks. You can do all those things and never actually put your trust in Jesus. And we can get comfortable and complacent because we're getting all that validation and approval from others. Everyone said, oh, didn't they serve well? They're going on so well. You know, we can just be like those Pharisees, very religious, but there's nothing going on inside. And Jesus says, doesn't he, in verses 9 and 10, well, look what he says. Whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Jesus says, look, there won't be forgiveness for some people. You know, and we've got this thing here, haven't we? We often talk about the unforgivable sin. And people kind of get quite worried, like, oh, you know, what if I've done it? And I think what I want to say is, look, like the criteria in Scripture for being saved, it's all laid out kind of in John 3, isn't it? Kind of 16 to 18, those verses there. It's believing in Jesus, isn't it? Those who believe are not condemned. Those who believe are condemned. I had to think about that for a second. Response to Jesus is the basis for our salvation, isn't it? And so we get verses like this and we kind of go, oh, what does this mean? And I think what Jesus is talking about here when he says, someone speaking a word against the Son of Man is forgiven, but one who blasphemes the Spirit is not forgiven. He's talking about the difference between a specific act of rejection of Jesus versus the permanent rejection of the message of the gospel. And I think someone like Saul is a really good example, isn't he? Because Saul would have spent a long time speaking against Jesus. But then actually he came to a point where he accepted the gospel. And so I think when Jesus talks about a sin that can't be forgiven, he's talking about the sin really is never turning to Christ. It's persistent and unrepentant resistance against the work of the Spirit and his message about Jesus. And that's obvious, isn't it? That's by definition unforgivable. You can't be forgiven if you never come to the one who forgives. So we can fear man, we could be like them, couldn't we? Or we can fear God. And what will it that? Well, that will mean recognizing our filthiness, recognizing our failure, our lostness, our helplessness. It will mean standing there and pointing to Jesus and saying, it is only because of that man that I have any standing before God. And acknowledging him, whatever that cost, you know, whatever trial that brings. Jesus says it will bring trial, doesn't he? You look at verses 11 and 12. When they, those are the Pharisees, those who deny Jesus, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how you're to defend yourselves or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. Jesus says, look, you fear God, it will bring hostility. You take off that mask, you're no longer doing that outward show. People are not going to like that. And you know what? We can do that, but we'll get it wrong every day. We'll always stuff it up. There's a civil war going on within us between the sinful nature and the Spirit. And no matter how hard we try, there'll always be times when we put on a mask and we're complete hypocrites. You know, there's nothing, I don't think anyone really does anything with pure motives, really. We've talked in the youth group about that kind of thing where you do something and you go, oh, wow, someone complimented me and I was really modest. Go me. pat on the old back there. Like, you feel, you know, there's no pure motive. But there is grace. So when we stuff this up all the time, as we will, when we do go through the motions, and when we do just do empty religion, we put on an outward show, there's always grace, because we can keep coming back to Jesus, and we know that he's paid for that on the cross for us. And the good news is here, what does Jesus say again in verse 8? I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. If we acknowledge Jesus, then he will acknowledge us. Jesus will say, I know you. And when we come up into those difficult situations that taking that mask off will bring, that living for Jesus will bring, we've got the Spirit to help us in those situations. So fear God, don't fear man. If we fear man, we'll just put on a show. We'll maybe even miss Jesus himself because of it. Fear God. And when we do that, we'll recognize our own sinfulness and our need to come to Jesus for forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are so often hypocrites, Lord. We so often put on a show for fear of what others would think. And we do that kind of Christian yes men thing where we want others to look at us and think we're doing great. And Lord, forgive us for when we're like that. Have mercy on us for when it is just a show. And I pray, Lord, particularly for any of us here who may be have only just realized that it's always been a show and it's never been anything more. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would come to you. They would take off that mask and say, look, I'm sinful. I haven't got it together. I can't do it, and I need you, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me. Amen.